Hello and welcome to Front Page Radio with your host, international author, broadcaster, and journalist Dan Wooding, the founder of Assist Ministries and the Assist News Service. Dan, who was born in Nigeria of British missionary parents, was raised in England and later worked for some of Great Britain's largest newspapers. He has been a journalist covering the world for more than 45 years now, with a focus on persecuted Christians and missions. And now here's Dan Wooding with today's guest.
Welcome to today's program, and I'm in Albuquerque, New Mexico, with a couple of friends, Jeremy Reynolds and his lovely Filipino wife, Elma. And last time we talked to them, they had just entered America. They'd come after quite a dramatic time in Israel and also in the Philippines to get the right visa. And we want to bring you up to date with the story. So, Jeremy and Elma, first of all, thank you for being on the program.
Well, thank you, Dan. It's a pleasure. And, of course, good to have you with us in our home here. And it's just been a great weekend as we talk about all things Assist and all things homeless and so on. Of course, and as you said, you know, when we last talked, we'd just been back in the States for less than a day. Elma and I got married just over 2 weeks after the last interview.
So, Elma, here you are. You've been living in Israel for many years. And how is it you met this rather unusual man?
Well, it's a... Really good. And since I met this man until now, it's like everything is just getting, more beautiful than it is. I mean, he's a wonderful man. I have a wonderful husband, and I'm so blessed to have Jeremy in my life.
How is it that you were working in Israel?
Yeah, I was working there as a caregiver for elderly women. In for many, many years, and never in my dream to relocate in America. So when I met Jeremy, everything changed.
What was it like, the wedding? Because last time we spoke to you, you'd just been in America for 24 hours or so.
Yeah.
Was it a bit of a dream for you?
Well, yeah, it's a bit of a dream. Although I was planning for a very simple wedding,
yeah.
But it turns out to be a little bit of what we originally planned because of our friends here, his friends, and it was a good time.
Now, Jeremy, one of the things that you did, which I thought was fascinating, was that you introduced your wife into your very busy life. Now, tell us first of all what you do here in Albuquerque, and then the work, how you brought her into the work.
Well, when I began the ministry back in 86 here in Albuquerque, I was doing everything. I was sharing with some friends the other night to say literally it was everything. I kept the books and I even cooked, and you're almost a wonderful cook, and you definitely don't want to sample any of what I cook. But as things grew, I began to have to hire a staff around me.
Now, this was called Joy Junction.
Joy Junction, correct. Uh-huh. And it just grew beyond my wildest dreams. And, of course, you know, my newest book tells some of the ups and many of the downs, or many of the ups and some of the downs. Obviously, when you have a ministry for this amount of time, there's been many downs. But we take care of homeless women, families, husbands and wives, men, significant others, and kids. And we give them a chance to get back on their feet again, along the way introducing them to a relationship with Jesus, which is what we're all about.
Mm.
And over the years, of course, we have never, neither do we intend to take any federal, state, county money, because we believe in cooperation with everybody, whether it be whoever, you know.
Mm.
But we also say that as a core focus of somebody successfully getting back on their feet again, having a relationship with Jesus is the most important thing they can do, and everything is built upon that relationship.
Now, I'm sure Elmer's view from afar was that all Americans are very wealthy and they don't have these problems, and yet you're taking her to meet the homeless, and she's seeing the other side of America. How has she responded to that?
I think you should probably ask her that. I think probably she has less of a viewpoint than that. I think probably many people in the Philippines maybe believe that everybody over here has wealth, and it's like, you know, the literal American dream. But you should probably ask Elma that as to what she thought.
So, Elma, you come to America, and before you know it, you're visiting the homeless people in Albuquerque, you're seeing the Joy Junction premises. Was it a big shock for you?
It's not really a big shock, but because while I was in Israel, I'm watching all the time, you know, different show in television, which show some of the poor people in America. So I have this idea already. But being here, I can see the difference. But the big difference of the poor people and poor people, like, for example, in Philippines, is like in Philippines, when you are poor, you are really poor.
Yeah.
And here, the poor have this, they are more blessed because the community able to unite and support, like Joy Junction, that they have a place to stay, they can run to when, you know, life really goes down and they don't have anything. So here, the poor, like, they don't have this really idea of what is being poor, like to be poor, like in the third world country.
How have the staff at Joy Junction received you? Have they been friendly or not?
Well, I'm so blessed to have a Joy Junction. The staff is very friendly and they welcome me very, very, very warmly, and they love me. So I don't have any, you know, like I don't have any problem because they're really, really welcoming me in at Joy Junction.
Now you came to America way before I did. I came here in 1982. You came here what year?
1978, Dan, when I was 21 years old. I came with $50 in my pocket and a one-way ticket. And, of course, my mother, I believe, I hope, came to know the Lord before she died. Basically, she said, once she knew that or found out I was going to America for real, that dangerous country, as she said, you know, she said, you've made your bed. I can't do the English accents anymore, Dan. She said, you've made your bed and you lie in it. But she began to come around after a while, after she began to see what I was doing.
Right.
And she said, it's a very dangerous country. The Greyhound buses are very dangerous. That was basically what she thought about all of America.
You would never have dreamed that you would be coming over here to the States to start a homeless work. But I understand it was partly because of a very bad experience that you got involved in this type of work.
Well, it was. You know, I had a calling on my life to do full-time ministry, but I didn't realize, Dan, that just because God calls you, it doesn't mean you're meant to drop everything that you're doing. You're meant to say, God, I'm not going to work anything outside the ministry,
right,
and you support me. I remember asking God or telling God, I said, support my ministry, and God said, well, yeah, I'll support, but no, it's your ministry. When you give it back to me, then I'll support it. Until then, you support your ministry, I'll support my ministry. And I became homeless. So, as I've told the story many, many times.
So, what happened? I mean, how did that happen?
Well, it was really, I wouldn't get a job. I said, you know, I'm in ministry. I don't need to work.
Yeah.
I had a job outside ministry. So, there came a day when the rent was due, like it does for all of us, and I couldn't pay. So, all of our stuff was basically put outside, and we had no place to go, so we stayed with friends. And after a while, they told my ex-wife, they said, we'll take care of you and the kids, but that loopy husband of yours, when he comes to his, when he gets some sense in his brain, we'll take care of him, maybe. So Dan, just picture this upper, you know, middle to upper middle class young Englishman who had never had to do anything, and who, when I needed a meal, it was always there. Didn't have to do anything. I found myself on the New Mexico-Texas border back at the end of January 1982.
Must have been cold.
Was cold. And, you know, there's nothing more discouraging, Dan. I remember I had maybe $12, $13 on me. And there was a motel light on the other side of the street. It was a bright light. And it said basically HBO, clean rooms, you know, phone and whatever, $14, like a dollar more than I had. I was desperate. I grabbed a paper, like a daily paper, and I tried to wrap myself in it. And, you know, when you're lying on the ground, every little rock, every stick, every twig becomes like a huge bump. I couldn't do it. Until I saw a restaurant across the road was closing, and they had like a corrugated iron shed behind that. So I went in there, I'm thinking, okay, I waited till the last restaurant employee went home, I guess. And they had fiberglass, Dan, which is glass, basically, with fiber. I mean, it's like cut down glass, right? But it looks soft-ish. So that's how I spent that night, on a fiberglass mattress, laying down on the ground, desperate, discouraged, depressed, defeated. But at that point in my life, I said, God, I will never ask anything from me. I'll ask stuff for your ministry. Now I'm in the place what I'm willing to do, whatever you want me to do, not what I want me to do.
So you went to Santa Fe next. What happened there?
Well, I found some wonderful people. I really did. I found a wonderful pastor who had a ministry helping young aspiring ministers get back on their feet again. I worked at a local hotel. I washed dishes, not very well. And they brought my ex-wife and kids out from Orlando, Florida, some of the believers here. And we started a life up there. And I had a small ministry there called His Place, where I didn't still know what I wanted to do. I just knew I wanted to be in ministry. So I got laid off from the hotel I worked at. And some of the people in charge of the hotel at that time, were, you know, they loved the Lord. And the two of the top managers said, "This is great. You've gotten laid off because we believe, not me saying now, but them saying, it's time for you to be a minister." I went home and told my ex-wife, and she was less than thrilled. But a few weeks later, I found this old pink place, like a shop, a store. And I went to see my friendly pastor, and we arranged to rent that place, and it became His Place, which we opened up in August of 1982. And you know, I just wanted to minister. It was in the coffee house days, you know, when that was all the rage. And but still didn't know about, you know, helping the homeless and the hungry until we started to give away free food. Well, guess what happened? You know, when you give away free food, that comes to the attention, you know, the homeless. So I began to see, God began to show me by bringing these folks in, that my calling in life was to deal with the homeless, the hungry, the marginalized, the disenfranchised, and so on. In 4 years I was there, just under 4 years, I took 4 days off in 4 years, got two front teeth punched out by a drunk, and started telling God things again. We ask God, we don't tell Him. I said, "God, I'll do anything else but run a ministry for the homeless. I'll definitely never start one." Became almost homeless again, came back to Albuquerque. God knocked me on the head and got back in my right mind again. I began this place back in, I can't remember the exact month, back in July or August of 86.
When you got this property, who had run it before you?
It was a wonderful group, a Catholic charismatic group called DARE, not the police DARE that maybe many of our listeners are familiar with. A Catholic charismatic group that dealt with drug addicts. And they had the property for about 12, 13 years, but they'd gone under or gone out of business the end of the year prior, the end of 85. And it was just sitting there vacant, 72 acres in the South Valley of Albuquerque, with just a handful of people living on site, just making sure it didn't get crooks there, that, you know, there weren't any vandals. And they agreed to rent. They gave 1 week's free rent on a mobile home, myself, my ex-wife, and kids, 5 weeks free rent on a ministry building. Said after that, at $650 a month. You know what, Dan, I would encourage anybody out there who's thinking of starting a ministry, who you have a vision, a dream, a plan, just be aware and be awake and be open and say, "God, my life is available for you to do whatever you want." Because when I began the ministry, when they said $650 in 5 weeks, I'm like, done. I had no idea, Dan, where the next 650 pennies were going to come from, let alone $650. And now our ministry is an over $4.5 million a year ministry with no federal, state, county, city help, because, again, reverting to what we said at the beginning of the show, we believe in a core relationship, you know, with Jesus.
Now, one of the things you've done recently is started a digital map for the homeless. How did that come about, and what does it entail?
It was very cool, Dan. I was watching local news. The local media community have been very kind to us here. They really have. It's, you know, a lot of people bash the media, but, you know, I have great relationships with the media, and we ascribe that to God also. So I was watching. We've had a lot of rain here the last few weeks in Albuquerque, and so a local reporter was assigned to do a story on places in Albuquerque which year after year have rains. And last year, the year before, they said, "We'll do something about it. Next year it's the same, next year it's the same, next year it's the same." So the reporter was assigned to do a story on areas in Albuquerque which have continuous rains, which need work, but nothing ever gets done. So they bought a Google digital map on the screen where they invited people to electronically pin on the map areas that had issues from last year, the year before, and nothing had been done. Then the plan was for the reporters to take them to the city and go, "Here, why isn't anything done with this?" I thought, you know, and I believe God dropped the idea in my heart. I thought, well, why can't we use that for the homeless? Interactive, because people want to help is what I think, Dan. People want to give, they want to volunteer, they want to get involved. They just don't know how to. You have to guide them. And so I talked to the people that help us with our website. I said, "Can you make me a Google digital interactive map?" Try saying that fast. twice. And 2 weeks later, they came up with that, and we're inviting people, you know, to pin on, to electronically pin on the map areas in town where they see three or more homeless folks hanging out, sitting, gathering.
Can people see the map? Is there a website?
They can go to joyjunction.org, and it's and they'll find it from there.
So here you are. You've moved to Albuquerque. You've seen the establishment of Joy Junction, which is now the biggest homeless shelter in New Mexico. And after several years, your marriage had bust up, and you obviously were feeling a little bit lonely. Here you are helping all these other people. Mm. But in a way, you needed help yourself, because we all need to have a companion. So what started you off in looking for a new wife?
Well, I went on eHarmony.com and not really having any huge hopes. But again, I like Elma to say that what she felt God told her about how we could do more, you know, as two people than we could do as one.
Yeah.
And had a few responses. And then one day, I get this email. I thought, Dan, I'd been very careful because of my status here. I wanted to be very careful and not really tell people who I was, just give sort of indices. And I thought, nobody's going to know who I am. It, you know, it's okay. Until I get this email outside eHarmony from this woman called Elma. I'm thinking, how has she found me? Is she a weirdo? You know? And so, but then, of course, we met. We emailed back and forth for 3 months. Nothing romantic, just building a solid basis for a friendship. But I'd like Elma to tell you also what she felt God told her about what we could do together as two people more than we could do as one, her doing her thing and me doing my thing.
So here you are, Elma. You're living in Tel Aviv, Israel, caring for this older lady. And you obviously were also looking for companionship. How did you find out about him? Because I understand you did a bit of checking, and then you gave him a phone call. Tell us how that all happened.
Well, first of all, Dan, when I was in that stage of my life, like, Lord, I think I don't want to grow old alone.
Mm.
So if you have somebody in store for me, well, I just leave it to you. And because for all my life, like, I'm searching for that the right person, it seems like I ended up being hurt. So I said, Lord, you know more about me than me knowing myself. So I just leave it to you and find for me that right person. But of course, I have to do the work. So
yeah.
Working that kind of job in Israel is like a impossible to, you know, go dating and meet somebody. So I have this idea, this eHarmony website pop up on my screen in my computer. So I said, oh, and it's a Christian dating website. So that's the idea came together. So I put my profile, and I have this 3 days trial period. So during the 3 days, you know, they're sending me bunch of male's name, and he's on the last batch that I almost give up also, because you will know already there if that person is for you. Just because he is involved in a ministry, feeding the homeless, faith-based ministry, that's what interests me. So that's how it started. We communicate, and I search on, you know, in the internet, because I was out already in the eHarmony website. So that's how we started, and emailing and knowing each other more. And I said, oh, it seems like we have some very much in common.
Now, I would have thought that some people would be scared to get married to someone who's working with the homeless. You know, it's a dangerous ministry. Why was it so interesting to you?
Well, it doesn't scare me, because all my life I wanted to help people, and I know I have this vision that if I have this and I have that and I have the resources, I want to build this, and like exactly what he's doing.
Yeah.
Although I didn't know him yet. And then it just come together that, oh, maybe God is calling me to go to America, and, you know, this is the right man for me. And I didn't regret any of those decisions that I have done, because now I'm living in my dream. I have a wonderful husband, God-fearing husband. We have this ministry. We are always, every day together, go to work, you know, helping these people. So it's like a dream come true to me.
Now, it wasn't that easy, and we're going to talk to Jeremy now, because you thought you could get this nice little visa and it would be nice and easy. You've been through a bit of a nightmare to try and get a visa for Elma to even come to the States. What happened?
Well, we did. I didn't think it would be that easy, but I didn't think it would be as hard as it was. But we're dealing with the Israeli government, because Elmo lived in Israel for such a long time, certain papers were needed from the Israeli government also. And then the Philippine government, and you talk about bureaucracy run amok. The Philippine government, I love the Philippines. I mean, love it to pieces. But they exemplify bureaucracy run amok. And then the American government, of course, over here, Americans pride themselves and we're innocent until proven guilty. Yeah. You know, hear all the time, we have the best legal system in the world, et cetera, et cetera. Well, when you're marrying a Filipino or a Filipina, your marriage is you are guilty until proven innocent. Every marriage is presumed by USCIS and by the American government to be a fraud or to be a sham until you prove otherwise.
Okay.
And so we had to have fingerprints. Elmer had to have the FBI equivalent in the Philippines, which is the NBI, had their fingerprints taken. We had to have my tax returns for the last 3 or 4 years. We had to send examples of emails, not examples, but actual emails between us, phone call records, you name it, we had to do it. And so it took much longer than we thought. And while when I went to the Philippines to visit Elma back in August of last year, I originally thought it was going to be for a month, and we come back and she get the visa, everything would be happy ever after. But then it seemed like we took one step forward to go two steps backwards. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking, I just can't leave her over here by herself. She quit her job to go to the Philippines on the presumption we would get married. I just couldn't come back. So I talked to my staff, and I stayed over there for 3 months. That took us to the end of October. As a mission, you know, for the homeless, our busiest time is the last two and a half months of the year. So I came back from November, was very lonely, was very sort of miserable being with Elma. Went back and told my staff, I said, you know, I'm going back for Elma. And told God, I said, I just can't get out of telling God stuff, right? I told God, I'm not coming back to America unless I come back with Elma. And so I came back with her. And, you know, every day marriage with Elma is just the best.
I understand something rather intriguing happened there while you were stuck over in the Philippines trying to unravel all this mess, that you became a bit of a radio star in is it Davao City?
Davao City, it is. We met some wonderful people. They have a wonderful Christian radio station over there in Davao, and the manager is a career YWAM missionary called Jay Bringus. So we became friends with him. There's some tapes and commercials for the ministry over here, over there. And we had a weekly radio show for a few weeks. Elmo was a guest on the last week. We met a wonderful American missionary from Ohio over there living in the Philippines who helps sort of indigenous folks over there who are getting medical help. And so we did some wonderful ministry, met some wonderful friends over there also.
Now, here you are. When was it you were married?
March the 27th.
Since you got married, Elmer, have there been any difficulties in adjusting to being married to Jeremy?
Not at all.
No?
Not at all.
Punched him on the nose? Or?
No. So never have any moment that I said I regret of marrying him. Never.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just all a wonderful being together and working together for the glory of God, and everything is like just a dream, and yeah, it's real.
And have the homeless people welcomed you?
Oh yeah, because you know I can easily go down to their level, and it's easy to talk to them, and they are easily opening themselves to me. Although some know they are in the distance, but most of them, like, I can, you know, just talk, and I love to talk to them. I love to go and talk to them and take their babies, because they have a lot of babies at Joy Junction. And it's just, I feel good that, you know, with my life experience, I can share to them, and through my life experience, it will encourage them to do more and, you know, to get better with their lives.
Well, this has been very interesting. Jeremy, if people want to know more, and you're also a very good writer with Assist News, assistnews.net, how can people find out more about what you're up to?
They can go to joyjunction.org, and all our contact information and emails and YouTube and Facebook and Twitter is all off the site there, joyjunction.org.
Now, looking back on your many years working with the homeless, would you have changed anything?
Yeah, probably a whole number of things. And, you know, and so I think my life was sort of out of balance for so many years.
Yeah.
But sort of it's God first now, Alma after that, and the ministry after that.
Well, again, joyjunction.org. I'd like to thank Jeremy Reynolds. Jeremy, thank you, sir, for being on the show.
Thank you, John. So happy to have you here in Albuquerque. Come back and see us soon.
Great. And Alma as well. Thank you for being on the program.
Well, thank you also, then, and we're glad to see you again here.
Great. God bless you then.
You have been listening to Front Page Radio with international journalist Dan Wooding. If you would like a free subscription to the Assist News service, log on to www.assistnews.net. And if you would like to write to Dan, send an email to assistnews@aol.com. Tune in again for another edition of Front Page Radio on this same station.